This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome, Carm Capriotto, the Service Aftermarket's podcast pioneer. Join me each week for aftermarket insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Use the industry's premier podcast as your personal networking resource. And as always, know that you'll learn one thing. The video for this show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on remarkableresults.biz or on my YouTube channel. We're with John Bridgewater from Wrights Automotive in San Leandro, California. Hi, John.
Hi, how's everybody?
Well, I hope you're good because I'm good at my end. A great business, family owned and operated. You call yourself the dealer alternative, which is so cool. Local shuttles and all that really cool stuff. Euro, Asian and all makes and models.
We try to watch the Euro, but we're definitely domestic Asian. We can do services and some basic stuff on Euro, but I have neither the staff nor the tooling, the training nor tooling to properly handle all aspects of Euro.
Let's see a picture of John's shop. We're going to go and see. Really nice place.
I laugh because that same BMW that you see right there came back yesterday. It's in the exact same place.
Why did it come back?
It sat for 6 months and needs battery charge and some other stuff.
That is so ironic that that happened. I love it. So, John, is business still good?
Business is good. Staff has been interesting.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
Well, we had a slow spell for about a month and a half. And so business was not as good as it should have been. We were still, hanging in there, but it wasn't crackerjack the way it should be. And then I had a big upset with staff and basically had to replace all my technicians.
Wow. I can't wait to hear what happened there.
I don't know how well you can see. I'm wearing a work shirt, which is like unheard of. I'm always in business casual.
Then I guess we're honored to have you, knowing how stressed you are with what's going on in the shop. So thank you for your time. Hey, let's give a great high five to our great partner, Dorman. Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why do they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
Hey, you remember this episode? Do you need an estimator?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great episode. Thank you so much for doing that. Episode 271, the Town Hall Academy. There are slices of wisdom that came out of that I just keep talking about today. So thank you. It's time for some smart talk. Let's talk about your new staff. Tell me how you felt on the day all this stuff started to come down.
I was crushed. I wanted to go home and cry. Actually, I think I did go home and cry to my wife. I have one service writer and a CSR still up in the front. They've been with me through the whole thing. Yeah, I had four technicians. That's right. I had Damon, Dave, Kevin, and Juan. The only one I got left is Juan. The others all left for various reasons, but it all happened within about 3 weeks. And they were all ASE Master A-plus technicians.
Anything could have been prevented, John?
That's a tough question. Yeah. If I went back and started looking at my culture about a year ago, I think I could have made some changes then that might have made a difference. I believed in my people and I wanted to let them keep trying, try to work through the problems we were having. And what I found was that when it's time to go, it's time to go. Don't prolong the inevitable. I still very much love and appreciate every one of the guys that was on my team. We still talk. We're still friends. They just don't work with me anymore. And that's okay.
It takes a lot of guts, John, to come on the show and say, listen, we had our struggles and it was a tough period of time. And to go back and say, maybe we could have, would have, should have, right? It helps you figure out the future.
Sure. Well, and they say hindsight is 20/20. Boy, is that the truth.
Yeah, it is. So where'd you find your people?
I'm using Transformers for a coaching company.
Okay.
And I love Transformers. They suit my personality well. They're flexible. Unlike some other companies who I either have interviewed or worked with, Transformers is extremely flexible and understands that no two shops are alike and everybody's going to do it their own way. And that's okay. Many of the other coaches I've worked with one way, you know, like I said, worked with or interviewed one way or the other, their cookie cutter way was the way. And that never set right with me. So Transformers has been just amazing. I did have one of them come out, I paid extra to do a SWOT analysis. And we came up with some good stuff, and I immediately put an action plan into place, and here we are. They actually came out to do the SWOT analysis, gosh, was it the day after or a week after my next to last technician left? I think it was the day after. We were like in panic mode. I didn't know what to do, but I had the support of Peyton with Transformers. Well, really, the whole Transformers group, my 20 group and the whole thing. They held my hand through it, and I was very appreciative of that. You know, as much as I'd like to come on here and say, look at me, I'm a big, strong shop owner, I do everything right all the time, that would be a lie. I'm human. I make mistakes. And I've made some mistakes leading up to this point. And now I'm trying to correct them.
And you didn't have any staff to talk with. You had a few people on staff, but did they do it with the staff or just you individually?
He was here. Peyton was here the week before my last guy quit. I was already in the shop because I knew we were shorthanded.
Okay.
Peyton came out and interviewed, including the last guy who left. And so he knew where we were at. And I had a feeling some stuff was coming up anyway. So it all, you know, really it all worked out. I'm blessed to be where I'm at right now. I put some well-crafted ads up on Indeed. I have replaced two technicians. I've got a helper, you know, a GST and another tech in the pipeline. I'm doing an interview tomorrow with a technician, and the GST is already on board for next Monday. I'm also seeking a manager. I think I'm about ready to close a deal on that. And so I will have the people in place to make up for my weaknesses.
You are in total reinvention mode.
Absolutely. We're a great shop that has a great community involvement and great reputation. That's the word I'm looking for, is reputation in the community. And I want to make sure that I maintain that to my standards. I don't want other people having my dream. So I'm hiring a manager who can be the integrator to my visionary and make this thing happen.
One thing I always loved about you, John, is you are just so open. You're an open book. I mean, and to come on and to say, hey, I just lost a bunch of people. Here's how we figured out change coaching companies. And there's probably 1,000 people around the country that are in the position you're in. And here you are putting it up on your sleeve for everyone to see and know. And thank you so much for being so transparent.
I've learned to be this way and that it's okay to be this way because I've seen some other people in the industry who have been through similar and other trials. Look at Matt Fenslow. His shop burned nearly to the ground. He made it through that. I mean, that was really tough for him. He and their team made it through that. Colleen Yarger, running Mark's Independent down in Chatsworth. She went through the same thing I just went through. I don't know how it happened, but she ended up parting company with all of her technicians. So I called her up and I said, hey, look, you know, after I was going through this, I called her up and said, hey, look, you know, you're not alone here. And she says, I want you to remember that too. I really appreciate all of the love and the support that I feel from this industry. And I hope that I can give back even a small percentage of what it is that I feel every day.
Well, you have on our show, and you and I have on phone calls that we've made. And I'll never forget that great little video. You were on my vlog from Vision, and we had a good time sharing some video screen at that time. It's on the homepage of my website. Go watch it and watch John and I just kibitz about stuff. You've always been such a great friend to the show. Thank you for sharing the fact that we can all recover from sometimes the bottom of the pit as far as challenges that we have. But, you know, if you close one door, sometimes another one opens.
And I have faith also. My faith tells me that whatever happens is supposed to happen. I mean, yes, of course, I need to be instrumental and proactive on making things happen. But the reality is that whatever this thing is that happens, no matter how bad it feels like it's going to be, there's a reason for it and there's growth that will come from it every single time.
John, thanks again for coming on and being here. Can't wait to see the shop. But in the meantime, we've had some really cool new stuff for the aftermarket to listen. We just love doing what we do, Tracy and I. Is your mission statement your passion statement? And we recorded this at the Elite Invitational with Bill Greeno. A great episode. Really makes you think about the culture of your business. ABC Technicians, what does it mean? Oh, wow. We had Ryan Koyman, Tim Izzy, and Matt Foslow. I always say his name wrong because I always thought it was an L and not an I. That was a great show on ABC, and a lot of really profound thought that went in there. And it's almost like we as the industry need to think about the stuff we talked about and who's going to help do or police some of this stuff. Matt Foslow overcoming the loss of a child, finding his silver lining. Very, very transparent and very profound. Matt's doing some great things for our industry, making us think really hard. Hunt Demarest, cryptocurrency. If you wanted to know anything about cryptocurrency, and I didn't until I heard Hunt. So thank you. Thank you to the team here at the Aftermarket Radio Network. Now let's go out and get this fabulous virtual shop tour from my friend John Bridgewater. We're going to roll the tape and you can take it over from here, John.
All right, so this is the front of the shop, looking south down the street. We're just off of a main street. There's that traffic light you see off on the right is the main drag where a lot of dealerships are, stuff like that. This is my front entrance. Got a little bit of customer parking on intake, three or four spaces. Got the handicap space. Isn't really used like a handicap space. Hours on my sign are wrong. It's actually 7:30 to 5:30, but this is the front entrance to my building. So this is what you see when you walk in. So anyway, the artwork on the wall is sound dampening as well, because this room otherwise would be an echo chamber. So three people can comfortably be on phones in this room at the same time because of the artwork.
How big is the lot that you're on? How many acres?
I haven't actually calculated that out. The building is about 7,000 feet. I can park 70 cars.
That's kind of the number I was looking for. Do you own this or lease this, John?
I lease from the original owner of the business. The desk you're looking at right there is my CSR, and that there will be my manager desk once I get that position filled. When he or she is writing service, there will also be an office in the back available to him or her. Going through this door is my customer waiting area. This is my retro chairs. I've got HVAC in the key rooms. TV plays AutoNet TV. I've got snacks, sodas, coffee, water. The door through here, right now it's just storage, but the intent was to have a private workspace for anybody who wants to wait. And I was going to put a Wi-Fi hotspot and a printer and a desk and have it set up for anybody who wants to work. I got one guy that would use it. Right now he sits at this table.
Any waiters a lot lately or not?
No, every once in a while, yes, but we actively discourage that.
There are so many shop owners that have put up great, great wait rooms and customer waiting areas. Even if they're not being used today, it really does show the level of caring and intimacy and relationships you want to have, even though it may not be used. People can look in there and then just check it off in the box. If I had to, it's a nice place to be at.
And that's my point exactly of having a really nice waiting room is I want to make it warm and inviting so that people know how much we care. And I want to actively discourage them using it at the same time. So we came through the back door to the waiting room. This is my customer restroom right here, my client restroom right here. It's kept marvelously clean. It's got automatic lights, automatic water in the sink. My cleanup guy probably mops it two or three times a day.
How many hooks?
Two hooks there. I don't remember, but I don't think there's any more on the back of the door. But I think what's there is sufficient.
Yeah, I think so, because that's the question Tracy always, always wants me to ask. Yeah,
a purse and a coat.
Person, yes.
There you go. So the dining area is also our meeting space / break room / et cetera. This is a kitchenette. We've got microwave, coffee, toaster oven, sink. I buy soups and stuff for the guys. This is my office right here. That's where I'm sitting right now, right at that desk with my ring light, which is on my face. And you can see my virtual background is a photo of my actual background. The dining room, once again, multi-purpose room right now. We could do meetings, whatever. I've done training there. This is a technician workspace right here. This computer is used primarily for clocking in and out, but it also does have all data and Identifix on it. Refrigerator is for employee use. That computer I'm pointing to right there has a bunch of factory software on it. In the same area, I have another computer right here with two monitors. Once again, same purpose. And then the next room is my inventory / parts / this will be my parts and estimator workspace here. Right now, it's just an extra computer.
My initial thought of seeing this for the first time, John, is you've got, this could be a huge production facility.
Well, my goal is $5 million. I'm not there, but my goal.
And you know you can do it with this facility, no doubt.
Sure. This is where parts are delivered to. Then they walk through this door, goes back to the front office. Vendors would have the CSR or a service writer sign for the parts, but they would be left on the shelf. We have a complete tagging system. I'm mostly happy with it. I took some inspiration from Kenny Wido. He did a good job with the way he sets up parts. That's my return shelf right there. My primary vendors are tagged and I got some miscellaneous shelf space. So we go out to the shop now. There's two doors to the shop. The one that I just walked through and then the other one back by the refrigerator. And so I got four lifts right along the wall right here. Third lift is a 16,000 pound Mohawk that'll lift up anything you need. So anyway, that goes back into the workspace. We have a locker room / employee restroom right here. I don't have any hooks though. In that room, I don't have any hooks. Back here, there's another restroom and a washroom right there. Upstairs, I've got about 2,000 feet of mostly empty space. I use it for random stuff. My network stuff is up there. And then I have a balcony also that the guys use to hang out on for lunch and stuff sometimes.
How long was the building or the business there before you bought the business?
The company has been around since 1969. They were at a different location originally. They moved here, I think, 15 or 20 years ago. That's my smog machine, air conditioning cart, bunch of random tools, scanners, diagnostic cart, alignment machine's a little bit old, but still functions just fine.
So your lifts are double stacked, only one door entry, right?
Well, I've got four roll-up doors. I got three across the back. Three roll-up doors across the back. You can drive in through the center door is typically what we use. There's two more hoists outside, CUDA parts washer, of course. Keep that on all the time. Compressor and a backup. The two lifts out back are useful. My tire equipment is also inside that cage right there. We do tires outside when possible because it's just closer.
What's the rain percent in your town?
I don't know a number, but it's very low. See, there's my tire equipment right there. I got a newer Hunter. That thing will do low profiles and run flats with no problem at all. I've never done a Tesla tire, but I'm not afraid of them. So anyway, there's my three roll-up doors across the back. The center entry is what we use most of the time. I've also got some miscellaneous storage out here, recycle bin, waste coolant, bunch of parking here across the backyard. That cage over there belongs to the owner. That's his space that he leases from. I actually got to hit him up about a lease. I forgot about that. We will use this door occasionally to drive in and out of also. There's also a roll-up door. As I walk through, you'll see a roll-up door on the right side here. We can drive in and out of that as well. That scissor lift right there is going to be going away. And I'll probably put some lifts in its place. This is all my fresh oil on the left and waste oil on the right. I got a 600-gallon waste oil tank. And between the three new oil tanks and the barrel and the E-pods, there is probably, two, three, four, for probably another 500 or 600 gallons worth of storage there.
John, how long have you been in this location?
3 years. July 1st will be 3 years. My birthday.
July 1st? Well, happy birthday. That's coming right up.
It's coming right up. About a week and a half.
Really beautiful place. Nice to see it. It just excited me as the upside is, and you know what the upside is, but what I'm saying is here you've got brand new people joining you, a new manager potentially joining. What a place to come and work in.
Well, and we keep it super clean. Tools stay up to date. I am actually out of date right now on my IDS, but I haven't needed it. As soon as I need it, I'll redo the subscription. I also have two 134 machines and a 1234 machine. So I'm not afraid of anything.
You're investing.
Yes, definitely invested. I just bought $2,000 worth of refrigerant yesterday. So of course, that's not much in today's prices.
What is it going for per pound?
I sell 1234 by the gram and I sell 134 by the ounce. And I'm three something per ounce on the 134. And I don't remember my price per gram. It's like 30 cents or something like that per gram.
I got to tell you, I've been around long enough to know that people used to hide trailer loads of R12 when I think it doubled or tripled in price. Wow, interesting. This crazy business called HVAC. Thank you. I know how busy you are. You're in a work shirt. You probably got to get out in the bays right now and just make sure everything is just humming like it should be.
If we got more, we got more. I'm good. You call the time, buddy.
This is exactly how long the show is. It's right around a half hour. We talk a little business. We look inside the shop. We get a feel for how you run your business and how you have it laid out. And it was just great. Hey, John, thank you so much. Continued success to you. And as I think we've heard, it's just a matter of time that things are going to be right back where they used to be.
And I got a standing invitation. If anybody ever wants to drop in on me, lunch is on me. Anytime, any day, so long as I'm here.
Well, good. Hey, thanks again, man. I appreciate it, John.
Awesome, man. It's been fun, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.